Greetings to you this morning. It's been a blessing to be here already. Thank you for the song there. We had a song that we sang before this that says, "We blossom and flourish like leaves on a tree." How does it? "And wither and perish, but nothing changes thee." Isn't that? I thought, wow. You know, I got this picture of young boys, you know, sometimes they're sitting at a table arm wrestling, blossoming, flourishing, right? But I could show you a picture of my dad a couple months ago. Withering, but the Lord is still the same as He was when He was flourishing. Isn't that a God we want to serve? Some of us are in that stage of flourishing. I think I'm a little more on the other side where I'm kind of getting weaker, and I have to spend a little more extra time to exercise myself and physical exercise. It's good for the body, I guess. Bodily exercise profiteth little, that's in the Bible says, so let's keep it in that perspective, right? Amen. Yeah, it's good to be back here. I guess we were here last Sunday too, but being in Africa for a couple weeks ago and just seeing the needs that humanity has to put their faith and trust in the Lord becomes more real when you see people that are serving an unstable religion, something that's not grounded. So I'm going to have to use my technology here. I couldn't get my paper to print this morning, so we'll see how this works here. In 1860s, there was a guy by the name of Samuel Stone. Have you ever heard of that name? He wrote the song, "The Church's One Foundation." The church is one foundation. Is there more than one foundation? The church is one foundation. One of the greatest hymns in our heritage of faith. "The Church is One Foundation" was written in 1860s by an Anglican parish priest and hymnodist, the Reverend Samuel Stone, near London, England. His great hymn was born out of passionate defense of not only the poor and vulnerable, but also of his faith. When halfway around the world, a controversial bishop of South Africa, John Colenso, was openly questioning Moses' authority of the first books of the Bible. While Bishop Colenso was officially rebuked and disciplined, his controversial views of the biblical authority and the articles of the Apostles' Creed reverberated through the Church of England and the Anglican Church in many countries, causing confusion amongst the simpler worshipers of many places. Stone, born in 1839, was also known to be a little menacing due to his athletic build and sometimes not so gentle way of dealing with inequity, including his confrontations with those who felt bullied and took advantage of others. But his passion for defending the vulnerable never escaped his convictions and the way of doing things. Samuel Stone's response to this controversy was to write a series of hymns in a volume called the Lyra Fidelium, 12 hymns on the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed, written to teach and to encourage his congregation to hold fast to the truths of the faith in the face of controversies. Reading that, has mankind changed much? There's still this thing of going after other, putting our trust in something else. So I guess the title of the message, The Church's One Foundation. There's one foundation. Why don't we just open in prayer before we go on with this? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time we could have to study your word. Lord, may you open the scriptures to our hearts and minds that we can understand it in a way that would give us direction in our lives. Lord, we know that you have the answers to all our needs. Lord, just help us to submit ourselves to your word and to what you have for us. Lord, may you continue to strengthen our faith and though that we can grow strong in you, even though our outward man might be perishing, but our inward man becomes stronger and stronger. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that can strengthen us and cause us to walk in the path of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you wanted to look at that song, it's on page 337 of the Hymns of the Church. I'm going to read an extra verse. There was an extra verse in it when he wrote it. I think there might have been 7 verses. I have one other verse in it. It says, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. And then this next verse, though with a scornful wonder this world sees her oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. That's a verse that's not in the book. Then it says, through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face. The word might be a little different in your hymnal than I read there in that last verse. But yeah, just the church's one foundation. This article actually was written in, there's an article that I found online. It says, A Hymn for the Reformation. This was written in October of 2020. when this was written. And I don't know what you think, if you know, the 2020 was the year of COVID, and there's a lot of people quit going to church. And I don't know, would you say they give up on God? But there's still the, I don't know, is that why the writer wrote it as a hymn for the Reformation? It's like, you know, 2020, I mean, if the people quit going to church, that doesn't make any difference in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's still one foundation. So let's look at, talking about a foundation, what are the, there's important things of a foundation. What are important things of a foundation? Somebody want to make a guess or? Important things of a foundation.
Stable soil.
Stable soil, yep. I wrote down something that doesn't move, so yep. There might be other things too. Strength. You know, the foundation has to be strong. And quality. So if you want to, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, in over the years, you know, with what man tends to do is to complicate things. And if you look at that song, the church is one foundation. And then you look at, as we read here in Corinthians, here in 1 Corinthians, Paul starts in here in chapter 3. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." The Corinthians were kind of a carnal people. It said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and another, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." They were starting to put some emphasis on a certain person. And Paul tried to bring that back, correct that one pretty fast. Because we tend to, I think that can still be in our day-to-day. We tend to put too much, you know, when it has a tendency to sometimes, you know, we get focused on the wrong thing, on a certain person rather than on Jesus Christ. But here Paul is saying the one that giveth the increase, that's the one, which verse was it here? But God, verse 7, neither he that planteth nor he that watereth. So what we're doing here is planting and watering. You know, as we preach and as we share, as we read God's word, we're planting and watering. But ultimately, God is the one that works in our hearts and increases our faith, increases, you know, what we growing in the Spirit. And he's the one that gets the glory for what happens in our lives. We're just sharing, and we're just, you know, as we study God's word, we're His word gives us light as it enters in our hearts. As Michael was sharing, you know, the light of the gospel has dawned on our hearts. If that becomes a reality, the change is from the Lord. It's not because of what anyone shared. Ultimately, I mean, we can be a blessing one to another, but don't forget that it's the one foundation, Jesus Christ. I wanted to read a couple of verses in, going to read a couple of verses about a foundation. I think somebody mentioned Abraham. Oh, it was Brother Henry, I think, mentioned Abraham this morning. I have a couple of verses down from him. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for something that had a foundation. Because everything that we have, or everything that we tend to experience in the world, is movable. It changes. You know, people, a group of people comes up and makes a decision to do something, and then, well, couple of years or years down the road, up something else now. But Jesus Christ is the sure foundation. Let's always stay on that one, right? We can never go wrong with that one. Men change. What did it say? People change, but not much. But God never changes, right? But yeah, that's interesting what Brother Henry shared about, you know, Abraham going to worship. And he had, you know, if you look at what he actually went through when he went up to, mountain that he went up to offer up his son? I can't even think of the name of the mountain. Anyway, if you look at, you know, here it says that he looked for a city which hath foundation, something firm, something solid. Now, if you would have been in the group with Abraham going up there, and Abraham would have actually told you what he's going to do, you would have thought, this guy is a little, I'm not too sure about him. But he had his trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, in the God of heaven. At that time, it wasn't Jesus Christ. He was looking forward to Jesus Christ, a redeemer. And we have that now. It seems like we should be so far ahead of Abraham that, but we still kind of tend to be put on with some of the same, like the doubts and fears and is this real and. But as I said before, you know, a foundation has to be firm, and we want something that doesn't move around. You know, we have the verse, there's the verses about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He's consistent. You know, When we build a building, you know, a foundation, we go down to where we know it's not going to get, there's no frost going to heave it, there's nothing going to move it, unless an earthquake. So I guess the buildings are, they're as solid as temporary can make it, right? Here on this earth. But as solid as, yeah, when we build something. But I was thinking of, you know, the top, when we just stay in the surface, when we just go by our feelings, we go by our, you know, when we go by our feelings, we go by fear, you know, we tend to have a lot of whatever man can come up with, discouragement We don't want to set a foundation on that, because I think what most of us have grown up with, you know, is maybe a feeling of uncertainty and not sure if I'm good enough, or you know, there's all these different feelings. We don't do that. We don't do that as a Christian. We go past those things, and let's get a foundation down to where something that doesn't move, and that's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I got to read you this little. There's this beautiful picture in Ezra. I don't know. In Ezra chapter 3 is when the children of Israel, you know, they were taken captive, and then there was this. I'm not sure if I can tell it exactly, but there was. They kind of got together again, and they were making preparations to build the temple. I love the picture of this story. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here in Ezra, and it says, Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, it says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple, this is now a physical temple, then they were laying the foundation, but also remember that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with the trumpets and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise of was heard far away, far off. Get this picture. This was older people that had seen, you know, what the Lord had done before. And then they were again back, and they were laying the foundation. They were getting ready for it. It gave me the picture of somebody that gets born again. You know, it says there was shouting, and then there was some of them were crying. Have you ever been in a, when somebody gets saved, usually there's some rejoicing and then there's some crying. I think the old people it was like a time for them to see that the temple is being built again, that Jesus Christ is being followed again. You know, when a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord, and you get past, you dig through all this rubbish of fear and discouragement, and you get, let's get past this stuff. We got to get on something solid, and the only thing solid is Jesus Christ. But I love this picture. You know, there was people were crying for, I think they were crying for joy, and then some of them were just rejoicing. And I think that's good. You know, when somebody gets saved, it's okay to cry and it's okay to rejoice. We can do both. I think it's fitting. A couple more verses here in Isaiah. Talk about a strong foundation. Isaiah says in chapter 28, verse 14 through 18, says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and our fault. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. It was like a bad situation. I mean, Israel had turned their backs on God. And then God said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know, I don't know what that sounds to you. He that believeth shall not make haste. Let me read a couple more verses here. It says, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden down by it. When God, he was going to, because Israel had turned their back on him, but he said he was going to lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. And we read that in the New Testament too. In the New Testament, it says, Jesus quoted this in Matthew. He said, did you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. A sure foundation. David said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Is he your head? Is he your foundation? There's nothing more stable than the Lord Jesus Christ. A sure foundation. Back to 1 Corinthians 3 here. I'm going to continue reading this chapter here. It's not a person, but it's that we glory in, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is making that clear to the Corinthians here. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. You ever think of yourself as a building for God? We build houses to live in, but our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Okay, so now we have, so if we got born again, we got a foundation laid. We got the foundation is Jesus Christ. No more are we going to just go by our feelings, by discouragement, as Michael had read that in Corinthians, where it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, persecuted, but not forsaken. Maybe he didn't read that, but it was right in the next verses. Cast down, but not destroyed, but still having the hope in Jesus Christ. I mean, that is the foundation that we as people need. Because if we don't have that, then when things get tough, then it's like, did I sign up for this? When Abraham went up on the mountain, he knew what he was looking for. Do I know what I'm looking for? But then here in verse, as I said here in verse 10, I'm pretty sure I won't do justice in explaining this. Some of this is a little, but let every man take heed how he build their own. In verse 11, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. we were in it, when we were in Africa, you know, they all thousands of people. They, you know, you hear the prayer call go, and they have all these mosques everywhere within walking distance, and it's another foundation. It's not a foundation even. It's, there is so many things wrong with it that it's like, my. Here it's, Paul says, there's not going to be another foundation other than Jesus Christ. Then it says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Do you think that fire is here, or is that when God calls us home? I think it's here. That fire, what, how we build on it, how we build on Jesus. I mean, Paul mentions here, he says, where was it here? Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. You know, there's all kinds of different kinds of buildings. In, you know, just in, you know, you can use different materials and better material. You pay a little more to get some better material. Do we do that? Do we do that in the spiritual? When Abraham was going up on the mountain to worship the Lord, I dare say that was not cheap material. That was some heavy stuff. I mean, do I use that kind of material? Do you? It's going to be tested. What kind of material you use, is it going to stand the test? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. Because we know gold, silver, I don't know, precious stones, those things. Gold and silver, they don't burn. What comes to your mind when you think of material, spiritual speaking? What, I don't know, is there anything that comes to your mind when you think of what are materials that would stand the test? Is there something that the Lord gave us? Is there building material that He gave us that would stand the test? What comes to your mind? I mean, I just kind of did a little bit of my own. I mean, the thing that comes to my mind was the Sermon on the Mount. Let's keep reading here a little bit here in 1 Corinthians. Verse 14 says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We are the temple. We are God's temple. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. I think that's, if you go back, if we read the Sermon on the Mount, if we just look at that a little bit. Isn't that about what it looks like to the world? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. See if I have that here. Actually, no, that's in Luke chapter 6. This is one thing that came to my mind when, if you're going to use something that's gold, like gold and silver, building material, says, but I say unto you, verse 27 in Luke 6, says, rules for kingdom life. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. That's, you know, Paul, what Paul said in Corinthians here. He said, if we seem to be wise, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And if you look at that, do good to them that hate you. That's opposite from, I think we heard a little bit in children's lesson. What we feel like doing is sometimes not the best thing to do. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth you on the one cheek, offer the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Isn't that kind of sounds what Paul was talking about in Corinthians? It says, for the wisdom of this, the next verse in Corinthians says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Let's read some more here in Luke. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And it kind of keeps on going there. I think I'm going to stop there, but I had to think of costly building material. I had to think of this one story I've heard one time, and then you might have heard it too before, that there was back in the Martyr's Mirror time. I'm not sure. Is it in the Martyr? It might be in the Martyr's Mirror, where a guy was brought to, they were going to execute him because he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they brought him to be executed, the executioner said, I can't kill this guy. He brought me food when I was in need. He brought me food. And they looked, I think it was for a day or two, that they looked for somebody to execute this guy, because they had a testimony of all the good things that he had done. Because the people that they would ask to execute him said, no, they can't do it either because of what he had done for them. That's what you call high-cost building material, right? If there's a testimony in your life that nobody would be willing to chop your head off because of you doing good to them when they had a need, may the Lord help us to be those kind of people. Fools for, what did Paul say? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I mean, it looks foolish to the world to do what you wouldn't feel like doing. If you don't feel like doing, don't do. Well, the world tells you if you don't, it's not my responsibility. You know, if we see, what does the Bible says? If we see a person in need, and we shut up our bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in us? I wrote down just a little phrase here. It says, or I asked the question, what building materials am I using? The materials that I use in my daily walk will have more effects in my life than the church or the people I fellowship with. I don't know if you get that or not. The materials that I use in my daily walk will have more effects in my life than the church or the people I fellowship with. What we choose to use for building materials to build on the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have more effect on my life than, I know it's good to have fellowship with other believers, but the materials that I'm using is going to affect me more than what the people I fellowship with. In closing, I'm going to just read here in Luke 17. Actually, there's another one here. In Luke 17, I'll do a couple more here. Luke 17, verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." It's within us. The materials that I use, the gold, the silver, the materials that I use is going to have the effect. Those are going to affect my life. Where we use wood, hay, and stubble. What is wood, hay, and stubble? Let's look at that one a little bit. What is wood, hay, and stubble? I think it's man's religion. Because I looked at, when we were in Zanzibar there, we would talk some of what Muhammad, what all the things. It didn't look like a warrior to me. It looked like what'd you call it? I'm not sure. Hate to say the name, but not something that I'd want to follow. Wood, hay, and stubble. I think that was a good example of wood, hay. Something that's going to burn. Something that's going. Anything that I think is more pleasing to. I think if I think of wood, hay, and stubble, I think of something that might be pleasing to the flesh. Cheap material. Let's go for the good material. Peter said, back to the foundation. It also Peter also mentions the same stone that was rejected. In 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8, I'm going to read that. It says, "To whom coming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I mean, a rock of offense, a if Jesus is just an offense to us, if his teaching is just an offense to us, then we haven't laid the foundation yet. We're still good enough on our own. And then in Luke, Jesus' word says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of brambles bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." And then here is the story of, he's like a, like the, we sing the song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." It says, "He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." So it's a matter of hearing and doing. If we hear and do, we're like the man that has built the house on the rock. And when the stream beat vehemently, and what is that? What is the thing of, what is it that beats on our house? The test that, like Abraham was tested to see if he would trust God no matter what. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation." I mean, we can have all the, we can, when you build a building, you can make it look as nice as you want, but if it doesn't have a foundation, it's not going to stand very long. And the same is true in the spiritual. You can perform and act just as right as you want, but if the foundation of Jesus Christ is not underneath to hold it, it's only a matter of time until the storms and the tests come, the fire comes, it's going to sweep it away. May the Lord help us to invest in what gold and silver represent. I'm not sure if that's clear to you or not, but the gold and silver of the spiritual building material is, I mean, I would look to the prophets and like Abraham and some of those, I mean, they used the real material. Were they men? They sure were. They also had to trust God. But they were, the thing of it is, they were on the other side of the cross. They trusted the God of heaven. They were looking for something, and, you know, they were looking ahead for something to come. And now we don't have an excuse. Hebrews says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" May the Lord help us to walk worthy of what he has called us to. We're without excuse. May the Lord help us. God bless you.